Welcome to the Business Building Blocks podcast, where we talk about struggles and celebrations that leaders and entrepreneurs experience on their journey to success. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm passionate about helping you achieve massive amounts of success at work and at home. We'll talk about all things people and organizational wellness, share relatable stories, and feature insightful guests, because quality people and processes are at the heart of every success story. Ready to learn, grow, and have fun? Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to the Business Building Blocks podcast. I'm your host, Christina Schmidt. And today I have two very special guests returning with me. So Jenny Barkin and Melanie Taylor, otherwise known as the Power Squad episodes. So last time we were together was November. So it's been almost 4 months. So welcome back. Anybody who didn't hear the last episode, why don't you guys take a second and just introduce yourselves. Let everybody know what the business is that you do. So Jenny, do you want to start?
Okay. Thank you very much, Christina, for having me again. I'm very proud to be the part of the Power Squad. So I'm Jenny Barkin. I am performance and leadership coach. I love everything about coaching. I love everything about neuroscience, and I love everything about dogs.
Awesome. Thank you. Jenny's our local resident neuroscientist, neuroscience expert that tells us when there is science behind what we think. And Melanie, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Melanie Taylor. I am an organizational development consultant, and I love helping people develop thinking, habits, and systems that increase their success.
Awesome. Thank you. And Melanie is the author of the leadership program that we all use and that we all have some upcoming programs for. So we'll talk about that at the end as well. So just to introduce today's topic. So I want to talk about accountability. So just for the listeners, we have not prepped this at all. And what I really want to just have is just an open discussion and just start, you know, get some ideas out there, get you thinking, get us thinking about different concepts around accountability. And so just to introduce the topic a bit, accountability is always, it seems to be a scary thing for some of us and a lot of our clients. And so there seems to be a very fine line to walk that people kind of struggle with, where holding people accountable feels hard and it feels like conflict, or it feels like by holding them accountable in a very, I guess, people forward way, in that it might feel like we're being too soft. And so we're allowing mistakes, but we're then allowing those boundary lines to get smudged too much. And so finding that balance between being understanding and being actually holding people accountable. And so I want to kind of discuss some ideas around it, maybe get people some clarification on it, and then some active ways that they can actually do it. So any thoughts that struck from just that right away?
One thing that I have noticed is that I swear almost every single day I'm talking about finding balance. And I think that is like one human thing that we're just continuously doing our whole life, is finding that balance. And so I don't think today we're going to come up with like a black and white, you know, flip this kind of answer. I think it's more just adding thinking to help you find the balance. So that's the way I'm approaching it.
Okay. Today. Awesome. All right.
So when I start thinking about it, my thought was, and I always were thinking from the parenting perspective, is I am saying my daughter or whatever family member that they made a mistake or they didn't come through with the promise. Can I do that? Do I have a moral right to do that if I am flawed as well, right? Do I have to be perfect in order to ask someone to be doing like what they promised? And the answer that came up to me, like, no, right? No one is perfect, period. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. So where is this balance? How good, how flawless should I be to ask someone to being accountable for their own mistakes? Mm-hmm. And the expression came to mind that don't throw the stones if you live in a glass house, right?
Yeah.
So where, again, to the Melanie point, where is this balance? Where, how good can I be to point someone else's mistakes. And my realization was that I do have the right to hold people accountable, but with two strings attached. One is, I think I need to ask explicitly people to do the same to me, hold me accountable, which kind of takes this being a perfect expectation away. And the second one is for me is to be ready and open to listen when someone is saying, yeah, right, so you're holding me accountable, but you made some mistakes too. So, and if I will react in a way like, what are you talking about, right? So it's your problem or something, then the whole accountability goes out of the window, right? No one would listen to me anymore. So it's about the balance, like how good you can be, you should be, to hold someone else accountable, and how you really invite them to do the same to you, finding this balance.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So I have so many ways I could take so many things to add to that, because I feel the same way. And I know I struggled as a leader because I was like, well, I know I'm not doing these things well. How do I get after this person for not doing them well? Because it's like, do as I say, not as I do, or, you know, like all of those things. And so there is a struggle. So like as a leader, how can they give themselves permission to hold their team accountable if they're struggling too? What do you guys think there?
I think that's where you sort of have an opportunity to engage people in being partners in the process. Like, and being able to be, if you can be vulnerable and say like, I'm also working on this and demonstrate that, I think that can go a long way. And I think that's where some of the empathy piece comes in, right? So you're having empathy for yourself and also are able to sort of more verbally share your empathy with another person to say, listen, I know this is hard. And the reason I know it's hard is because I'm also like trying to do this myself. And so let's do it together. I also should clarify, whenever I use the term empathy, I'm always probably mostly referring to cognitive empathy. So like I can appreciate what you're feeling as opposed to I actually feel it myself. And so again, if you can get a sense of I appreciate what it is that you're feeling and I'm sort of maybe feeling similar, etc. And then work through it together, you can add that into creating that accountability.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think sometimes that there's a fear around like doing that in general. Like, so there's a fear of the leader about either admitting that they're struggling with the same thing, or there's a fear that there's going to be some pushback. So like, if I've got, you know, say I'm struggling with getting to this one meeting on time or something like that, and so I'm running always behind for whatever reason, and then I say, hey, you need to show up on meetings on time. You know, somebody's showing up to a different meeting. There's like a fear to kind of admit that they're doing something not quite right. And so getting over that, I think it does take that being vulnerable and I guess owning up to it in some way, but it's also an opportunity for you to say, okay, what coaching yourself there as a leader, saying, okay, well, why am I showing up late to this meeting? Or why am I struggling with the same things that these people are struggling with? You know, is there a culture here? Or is this something that, you know, maybe we're just similar and we struggle with the same sort of things? But it opens up maybe discussions that are bigger on the team as well.
Well, I think that fear you're talking about, all of our challenges come back to the feelings that we have and then the stories we tell ourselves. And so so many of the conversations that we end up having are around what is the story you're telling yourself that's getting in the way of you being able to do the thing that's going to make sense because of this. So like if you're afraid of holding people accountable because you're worried about what it's going to say about like yourself and your accountability, and you're also concerned about being honest about the fact that you have a challenge with accountability, there's a lot of stories you're telling yourself there that you probably benefit from kind of like a reshake to better give the outcomes you're looking for. How do you balance your own empathy and accountability?
Yes. Yes. Because sometimes we can be our own worst critic, right? Yeah. Are we empathetic or sympathetic maybe with ourselves? So.
Well, and there's, someone might know the bias. We tend to give ourselves more empathy and give others less in some circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so then that's the other piece. I can always justify why I was late to that meeting because of all these very valid reasons, but then other people, but you don't have those very valid reasons, right? And so again, that becomes a barrier to holding people accountable as well. It's all very complex.
Yes, that's that fundamental attribution error that you're talking about. So we talk about that a lot in The Working Genius, just that understanding people's geniuses can help you understand why they're maybe behaving that way and why they're struggling with that. And so to help you with that fundamental attribution error as well. So like, because sometimes it is just about that we're not understanding their perspective of it. And so, or we're not understanding that this is just a big struggle and it's not that they're lazy, that they're not doing something well, or that they're not working. They don't appear to be working hard. It is just their makeup. And so, So Working Genius would be a practical tool there to toss a little practical tool to help with that. You know, if you're struggling with accountability, there might be actually something there. Or if you're struggling with addressing somebody's particular accountability, maybe understanding them a little deeper would help you get over some of those fears or thoughts that you have around what they're doing. So,
Sometimes when I hear holding people accountable, it's usually we think about when the results are not as we planned, right? So at the end of the line, which I think it's a huge mistake for leaders, because to hold someone accountable to something, you need to establish very clear expectations, like weeks or sometimes years ago, right? So, but we often talk about accountability when we reach the end of the task or the goal, right? So when it's, of course, it's very hard to talk about what you were supposed to do and you didn't do it if you actually never said to your team or team members, your direct reports, what were they supposed to do? Or you never ask, do you understand what I want from you? Are you on the same page? Do you have any questions? So the question about accountability and the moral right to ask people to, like, being accountable starts much earlier in the process when we set the expectations and setting the goals.
And absolutely.
I often hear from quite experienced leaders, but they should have known. They worked with me for years, right? Or they've been in this company. They should have known what I want from them. No, they should have known. Right? So, of course, experienced people, they know technical aspects, right? That's why they are still your employees. Right? That's why we're still paying them salary. But to expect that people would every time, every task, every process know what expected of them, that's a huge mistake.
Yes, most certainly. Yeah.
But they're adults. I shouldn't have to babysit. But one being an adult, a mind reader. And I keep coming back to it, it's leading. It's like we change our story and the story we tell ourselves, it becomes easier to hold people accountable and get the outcomes we want, because we get involved and show up in a more beneficial way for everybody, right? We reduce a lot of those frustrations.
Yes.
One thing I've noticed in when you talk about accountability and empathy, because I think they need to be in balance in some way, is often both words elicit strong reactions. And again, that story, the thinking behind them. So I find often if you say, okay, we got to hold people accountable, people are like, oh, no, that's a bad, like, that's not the type of environment we are. We don't do that. We care about people, et cetera, right? So there's this mentality that accountability means you don't care. Mm-hmm. then on the other end of it, often we say, okay, we need to be empathetic and start introducing these concepts of empathy and caring about people, etc. And often I find the reaction is, oh no, we can't be empathetic because then we're just letting them get away with everything. And again, we need to better understand and define those words and how they come in balance. So empathy is, and cognitive empathy is, understanding where the person is at, what they're experiencing, etc. It doesn't mean that you agree with it or give in to every single thing they need, right? You're not just constantly giving to them. Empathy also needs boundaries, and it needs an element of accountability. So accountability is holding people to what they said they were going to do or what is expected of them, etc. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're punishing them, right? Often that's the case, is people think, oh, accountability equals punishment. Absolutely not. Accountability is helping people to meet the things that are expected of them. And so again, when we put these two together and understand them, we can use them to actually get the outcomes we want, instead of just being frustrated and banging our head against the table or whatever, and watching good people walk out the door. Yes. while we remain confused.
Yes. Yes. Because I think sometimes even people that are doing a good job, they want to be held accountable. Like, they want to be stretched. And it's that whole, like, your best people, they can perform here without any help, but they want to perform here, and you want them to perform here, but they're not going to do that unless you start putting a little bit of pressure, empathetic pressure, maybe you could call it, a little bit of pressure. So yeah.
Good pressure.
Challenge. People want challenge, right? We get mm-hmm. bored without a challenge.
Exactly. And
another thing, like Melanie, you were talking about, that accountability sounds like bad thing, right? So like it's something we shouldn't do, or it's something that's unpleasant. But what we forget, that accountability, when I have accountability against my employee one-on-one, right? It's still not one-on-one really. Because if I'm not holding underperforming employee accountable for whatever reason, I'm affecting everybody around, because I'm showing them you can do whatever you want and there's no circumstances. So people like taking it the wrong way, that, okay, so if this guy gets away with everything, why should I be doing the best job? Or some great employees, they saying, I can't do a bad job. I will continue a very good job. But I'm growing resentment towards the company, towards the leader, right? And at some point, I'm saying goodbye. Our company mm-hmm. loses great. So I think for leaders, if they think about accountability, not like one-on-one, like me and someone that I need to hold accountable, but how this relationship affects systemically everybody else,
yes.
Then
yes.
maybe it will make them, oh, but it affects not one person, it affects the whole team or whole company. Then mm-hmm. it's worth doing. So giving themselves permission to be sort of a bad guy, but for the good of the many other people around.
Yes, I agree there. Because what happens is people will just start to come down, and like they say, that lowest common denominator, those will start to, you know, your best people are still going to perform at their best. Like, they won't come down, but they'll be, like you said, overworked. They'll be making up for everybody else's slack, because a lot of the kind of maybe not the best, but pretty good people that would be awesome if there was accountability, they'll come down to what's acceptable. And if we don't hold people accountable, then anything's acceptable, apparently. So I want to switch gears a little bit, because I think we come from the side where, you know, accountability is a struggle for us to some extent. But Melanie, you alluded to it a little bit earlier, but the, you know, if we're too empathetic, then we let everything go, right? So I want to kind of come at it from that end as well, because there are so many people, like I actually had a client and the whole group of them, they were like, why do I have to talk to these people? I'm just going to tell them what to do. And, you know, when I yell, they do it. But when I don't yell, they don't do it. So let's talk a little bit around that as well. And I think I experienced this with my children, is that if I'm not holding people accountable steadily, or not, you know, holding them accountable all the time, that they've pushed the boundaries to the level that they only do it when you yell, or that they only hear you when you yell, because it's like, well, they don't really mean it until you yell. Any thoughts around that?
Yelling is easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And effective in the moment. And it's one of those things that you need to keep doing, and it creates damage on the other end. I think it's, again, it's seemingly easy, but there's so many complex things happening underneath. Mm-hmm. Is it really holding people accountable if they're reacting to your yelling? Like that's not accountability. It means you always have to be there yelling and getting irritated. Mm-hmm. Right? So the other piece of that is, again, coaching or guiding people or having relationships where they want to be accountable, right? Like, so they're intrinsically motivated as opposed to externally or extrinsically motivated. And that takes time and effort. And we often don't see the results of that time and effort right away. It's like starting to work out or starting to eat healthier or sort of like all of these things, right? You don't see it for a while. So it's so easy to slide back. But in my experience, my own personal experience, and then in seeing the success of others, putting in that effort to move away from yelling and realizing there's a way to hold people accountable or help them hold themselves accountable that's different. It does take effort. Mm-hmm. I think it is important, because yelling's always going to be easier. And like in the moment, it's always going to feel easier. But it has its impact.
It does.
You know, I found with a few clients of mine who were on the way, I'm not the babysitter, right? We are not in kindergarten. I just tell them what to do. They smart enough to do it, etc. And they practice or yelling or any other sort of punishment. And what I'm asking them is that the legacy you want to leave behind? So we often, as human beings, we want to leave something behind, right? Mm-hmm. So with this children, family, or invention. So many of us, we don't have this opportunity to be world-known scientists who leave behind like a discovery of a lifetime. So, but we always have a little places to leave the legacy behind. Mm-hmm. And asking, is that the legacy that the screaming, hating, irritated person you want to leave? People, they will leave your work, they will go further, and they will remember, oh, like, who is your worst manager? Oh, that guy. Is that the legacy you want to be? You might not know about that, but it will be there. Mm-hmm. Or you want to be to leave the legacy of someone who understands, someone who asks questions, someone who listens. Mm-hmm. And although it seems to be a very philosophical big question, but at least it's kind of gives people an idea. If they would remember my question in the moment, they might think, maybe I don't want to be like seen or remembered as a jerk, right? Maybe I will stop for a moment and ask before I yell mm-hmm. or scream or like threaten somebody. So maybe it's, sometimes we need to go to basics, to very fundamental why we live, right? Why we work. Mm-hmm. It sounds heavy sometimes, right? But at the end of the day, that's why we leave something behind, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
It worked a few times with my clients. So maybe someone who would listen want to take a moment and just think what kind of legacy they want to leave behind. And that would be their intrinsic motivator to change their ways of dealing with accountability and boundaries.
That's really good. It's really thinking about like, where do they want to be in the future and what, so I like that a lot. Also, you can also look at it a slightly different way, just to kind of add to it, is like, what do you want of your people? Like, do you want them to just be robots that just do this, 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 and this? Or do you want them to be problem solvers and to work at that higher level? Do you want them to be thinking of ideas and innovative? And so sometimes that can be a struggle, though, too, because they do just want them to follow the process, but then they get annoyed on the same side that they get called for every single issue that comes. And so if you want to have the learning organization, you want to have people that can solve problems, you've got to be empathetic with them. You've got to make it a safe space for them to mess up a little bit, but be held within the boundaries that you've set. So,
well, and I always try to think of it as nudging your way forward. So it doesn't mean like accountability doesn't mean you're giving, like letting people do whatever, but it also means that you maybe need to be more realistic about what you're holding the person accountable, and empathy is going to help you get there. Right. Mm-hmm. So ultimately I want you to be showing up and being creative, like, and I need that from you. So that's the higher level accountability. And for me to go out and say, I'm holding you to that accountable, you do it tomorrow or else that's it. Like, that's going to stifle creativity. And so the empathy piece is in the moment, understanding, okay, where you are at now and what is the gap we need to close so that we can move you closer to that objective mm-hmm. that we have. And then let's move you closer. And we're like constantly trying to, again, find that balance between that empathy and accountability and paying attention to the patterns. Like, if they're making progress, then that is success. But if we're being empathetic and there's no progress being made, then we probably need to dial in a little bit and say like, okay, we can't just keep allowing you to do this, right? Like, I can understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, we're not making progress here. We need more accountability and sort of, again, balancing it. But it's not an all or nothing thing. And I think it's using the right balance in each moment to work your way mm-hmm. to the ultimate goal that you are achieving. Again, takes time and effort, et cetera. But if you learn how to do it, it starts to become easy and it flows and it feels better in the long run. Because walking away yelling and that just rarely feels good in my experience. Maybe in the moment. But later,
later on, it does not.
No.
One more thing I'm trying to remind leaders who are saying that, yes, what Melanie said, it's to finding this balance. It takes time, takes patience, right? Takes effort. Mm-hmm. And I hear some leaders, but I don't have time. I have a company to run, right? I have balance, results and salary to pay, etc. What I'm like lately, I'm repeating myself many, many times that with all that going on in technology world, right, the mm-hmm. AI and information exchange and everything, any technology and every know-how can be replicated basically in a matter of seconds sometimes, right? Anything you might have, you have is proprietary and puts you on edge in front of everybody else, can and will be broken next day. Mm-hmm. Except people. So the only thing you can rely right now as a competitive advantage, I believe, mm-hmm. is just people.
Yes.
Not technology, not resources, not markets. We saw in the last 3-4 years how life can change and get upside down in a matter of days. So we only can rely on people. And if you're not willing to invest time and effort and learn how to do it, then you will lose whatever competitive advantage you have right now, or you think you have, very quickly. Mm-hmm. So maybe that would be the motivator to invest. Yes, time is hard. You will make few mistakes, right? And you would need to retry it again. And it will be something like accountability with Christina would be one thing. Accountability and boundaries with Melanie would be completely different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's worth the time and effort at the end of the day if you want your company to succeed for the long run.
Definitely. The ultimate competitive advantage is accountability, right? So awesome. So I'm going to wrap us up here today because we have been talking about this for quite some time. So I hope that you found this helpful and maybe got you thinking about, okay, how important is accountability? What does that look like for me? And how can I start doing more of it? And it's the not yelling, but the empathetic accountability. accountability that we're looking for. So just a reminder, if you want to get in touch with me or with Melanie or with Jenny, you can find our contact information down in the show notes below. We all have a Delving Into Difficult Discussions program coming. Jenny's is full already starting in March. Mine starts in April. There's a few spots left, and Melanie's is in May. So if you're interested and some of the timing works out for you, then reach out to us to see if you can jump in and get part of that. So until next time, I appreciate you guys, Jenny, Melanie, being part of the podcast. Love the wonderful insights and the wonderful conversation as usual. So thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next time.